I think what I have to say is relatively simple, and all the mystery and so on that is surrounded it, I don't think is quite worth all the effort, really. Really, all we're trying to do this fall is two things, is efficiency and economy. That's the way it sums up. I think you need to remember, though, that the Navigator work has its objective to contribute to the fulfillment of the Great Commission by recruiting, developing, and sending qualified laborers for Christ. By recruiting, we mean to add new personnel, people who are disciples who were not disciples previously. And not only that, but to multiply them, to grow one who will grow another who will grow another. This is primarily done in direct ministry. This direct ministry is done primarily on college campuses and among servicemen and young businessmen and women across this country and overseas. So the main thrust, front line, if you want to use it that term, of the Navigators, is out in the areas, in the regions. Here at Glen Eyrie, we've had a triple threat operation, and this triple threat operation, headquarters, training program or training center, and conference center will continue. Only it will continue in a different way than it has been up to this point, and we think far more efficiently. I got the rumor back from town that we were disbanding and abandoning all training. Well, we are changing our approach to training. That's the thing. And as I mentioned the other morning, it's mainly to bring it up to date, and we feel it's going to help greatly in the overall direction of the Navigator work, which has maintained about a 15% increase per year over recent years. Even while we talk of the difficulty that the general fund is in here at headquarters, it is still true that the total revenue of the Navigators increased 63 over 62 by about 14 6/10%. And so we have a lot to be thankful for, and we have the very evident blessing of God on the work. I don't think that I have personally ever seen it any more evident. And I'd be very surprised if we don't have some rather subtle and vicious counterattacks along the way. As I mentioned the other morning, we feel that in the light of the growth of our work, that the headquarters office should be primarily a tool or an instrument to most effectively serve the rest of the Navigator work, both in the areas, overseas, and the other aspects of the work. And therefore, rather than trying to have training and operate the headquarters office at the same time, we're asking that those who stay with us in the headquarters office will come for one main reason, and that is to help us carry the load, to work and get this work out. Now, any good office will have some kind of training in connection with it, but this is not the basis on which people would come. So those of you who would be staying this fall, we want it clearly understood that the objective this fall is, with a reduced crew and all total, all of us over there under that one or two roof or roofs or in those two buildings, we'll total about 51 as it now stands. And our objective is to get the work done, is to keep it up to date, regardless of how many people we have. We've planned this 51 on our best knowledge to date, and plan on a 48-hour work week. That would be 6 8-hour days, or 5, you figured out. So that would be the idea for the fall. Then our training and the use of Glen Eyrie, we feel that this can be greatly speeded up and improved. Most of you were not around when we secured Glen Eyrie, but one of the things we had in the back of our mind was to speed up training. And we think that some new approaches to training will speed it up. I've mentioned some of these to you, such as more lengthy seminars, institutes, training sessions, And some of these are in the hopper for next year. And we feel that Glen Eyrie is going to have greater use than it has had to date. We do not anticipate less, but greater. However, it will temporarily have less use. And already I got some word back from town that navigators have folded up out here and aren't going to use the Glen anymore. It is true that for this fall and into the spring, it was going to have a minimum of outside use, so we can have a minimum of staff in order to have a minimum of subsidy to the Glen in order to stem the tide in our financial situation. And so, after quite a long consideration, the fellows feel that seven men can handle it, keep it going on a minimum requirements for the fall. This includes maintenance. This also includes the kitchen crew. So hang on tight. There are a number of things that we have outlawed for the fall. There will be no non-reimbursable travel. And also, it will be against the rules to get sick. We have made no allowance for people to get sick. So, you have to be sick on the job. Then our thought is, we do now already have in the making our plans for conferences, some training institutes beginning next year, and these will be crystallized and finalized, and then a rebuilding of the staff to meet that need when this commences, which will probably be about next May. So, this gives us a chance to regroup and to hit it, we think, in a better way and harder than ever. And we already have our conference schedule laid out for next summer. When I finish, Sherry, I'll have time for questions in case there's something you'd like to know that I have missed. That has to do with efficiency. And consequently, when we say we don't have a training department anymore, this is true, but doesn't mean we will not have training. It is going to be reassigned and operate in different ways than it has operated up to this point. And it'll probably take us a little while to get used to the new system and setup. And I might say there's a lot more philosophy, and there are a lot more basic principles involved, however, in what sounds simple than just meets the eye. And this is one reason that we've had to take such a long time to make sure that we were not making decisions on the basis of expediency, but on the basis of basic principle. And these do not come easy, at least they don't to me. And so, as many of you know, we spent a good deal of time on this. And not only that, we don't want to make long-range decisions on short-range problems. And so we've had to consider the consequences way down the line of these things. And here again, it takes a little time to think these all through. But just to give you a little case in point, last week Wednesday, we had our board meeting in which we confirmed the action we're going to take. And I was unable to get back to that again until this Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. Now, those, we've been busy with people and so on ever since. So that's another reason for a little delay. And the reason for the delay of Tuesday morning to this morning is that I was a little bleary-eyed about Monday night, and I didn't think I could get it together in any comprehensible form by Tuesday morning. So thanks for adjusting for me, will you? You wonder what I do over there? I mess up your schedule, that's what I do. Economy, we have a very simple fact of life. We must live within our income. And there's another rather distressing fact of life, we have not been. And consequently, to do this, two things are necessary. One is to cut back in every place that we can, and the other is to expand. The answer isn't always to cut back. There are some things that are result-producing activities that ought to be expanded, not decreased. And when it comes to support activities, we ought to operate on the basis of the least effort possible. And so we're doing both of these. For instance, in our cutback, we want to have the minimum of of man hours necessary, or be it bookkeeping or correspondence or the service aspects. But when it comes to our finances, we hope to have 12, 15 or more men on the road this fall, because it's one of the best training functions we have found for men to be out doing calling. At the same time, it's seeing the people personally. And also we find that our callers get to know the area probably better than the area man himself knows it. In addition to this, the cost is about 10% of the new money that is raised. And this has proven to have the blessing of God on it through the years. And this we intend to continue and to expand this fall. So, but in order to expand that, that money has to come from somewhere else. You still can't spend money you don't have. You can, but it gets you in trouble sooner or later. Also, I like to say that this matter of economy, we did this in 1961. We did this again in 63. The only thing that 1964 is just a lot tighter, that's all. And we're going to sit on it closer. And I've canceled overseas trips and so on for this next year. And with the exception of Hume Lake and a week or 10 days in the Midwest at the end of October, I expect this to be right here. And not only to for our rearrangement, to get our plans laid for the use of the Glen, and it's next year. Now, of course, this means that people are involved. And it's very natural to think, well, how does this affect me? And now this will release more people for the direct ministry. Now, I hope it doesn't take just a persecution to get us out. In Acts 8, you know, that's what it took. And they went everywhere preaching the gospel. Well, that which may have looked like a catastrophe was certainly a forwarding of the gospel, was it not? And we feel that our number one priority in personnel needs in the entire Navigator work is the direct ministry around the U.S. This is number one. Therefore, we have as priority to get as many people as are ready into direct ministry where the fish are biting, as Leroy puts it, the most effective place we possibly can around the country. And the more of these, the better. And so as soon as people are ready, this is number one. And if they're needed at the Glen or the finance program or anything else, they have to argue for them. We automatically think in terms of a person getting into the best opportunity for the basic ministry of evangelism and conserving the results, in other words, discipling. That is always number one. That's our prime guideline in the personnel board and in our other personnel activities. Number two this fall, because of our need and because the Lord has led us in this direction, is men on the road and finances. I've explained to you the finance calling. And then number three, some of us are going to have to stand by the stuff here. Now, they say, please don't panic. We're still going to have 58 people around here. And don't all of you leave us, because it's been a long time since I've run that floor buffer. Not that I can. Now, I know I can do dishes, because Monday, Wednesday, and Friday are my dish nights at home. Looking at my hands, last night was Wednesday, and I can tell if I wash dishes on Wednesday night. Of course you know what I'm talking about. So that's Dad's team. Well, maybe I'll have to have the president's team over here. Who knows? But the important thing is this, and that is we want everybody in the best place for them. Now, we need some people to help us here stand by the stuff. We also need folk who will get out in the direct ministry, as we call it. And the thing about it is that I like to remind you. Now, I imagine that some of you, maybe not, I don't know how many, have been a little shook up, wondering what's going to happen to me. Well, in first place, I know a little about what it means to get shook up, so I can sympathize with you, and really concerned about it. But you know, the important thing is that God has His hand on your life. And I don't believe that God will let you get lost in the shuffle. I really don't. I hope you don't. And I think that you can expect by prayer for the Lord to move the hand of the non-Christians, do you not? Well, don't you suppose that by prayer he can move those who want to do what he wants? And also, say, well, they're infallible. That's the truth. But God will still look out for you. And so I hope that you've got your eyes set on God. And like Moses, who endured as seeing him who is invisible. As far as I know, in the years I've had this job, I have never sent anybody anywhere. And if I have, I take it all back. As far as I know, everyone that has gone someplace with which I have been concerned, God has sent them. And if I didn't think that God sent them, I don't want the responsibility. I really don't. And of course, a very outstanding case in point is Vernon L.C. Bates going to Vietnam. I don't want the responsibility for having sent them there. But after prayer and mutual counsel and more prayer, we feel that God is sending them there. And I can go to bed at night at rest knowing that God has sent them, I didn't. And wherever you go, whether it's stay here or go elsewhere, let's make sure it's God that sends you, huh? That's right. I'm sorry for some of the element of ministry, of mystery rather, not ministry, but mystery that surrounded this. And as I say, it's taken some time to get some basic principles and issues settled. I think the Lord has had to do a work in my own heart, and he's done this. Maybe he wants to do more, but I know he's done something this summer. Also, I think you should bear in mind that it is true we do have a mass exodus every fall, regardless of the current situation. Some of you are new, may not realize this, and you may think that we're all fleeing the coop before it caves in. Well, I'm staying for one, I can tell you that. Jim, you going to stay? Okay, Jim will stay here and help me. He and I'll cook for each other. Rod's leaving us. He's going out on the road. And Mel Binford's leaving us. He's going out on the road. And Leroy's going out on the road. But some of us are going to stay here and encourage the rest of us who are here. You know, it was an interesting thought to me that the number of little feedback observations I get, people who hope they can stay. It's a funny thing that I thought that when we talked about you stay here to work, it's going to be long hours and nobody want to stay. Well, it's just another confirmation to me, though, that the Lord has been leading us and all of you have a heart to work. And whether it's to stay or to go elsewhere, that God has put in your heart the heart to work. And I just thank the Lord for this crew that's sitting right out in front of me this morning. I really do. And I don't get a chance to say it often, but I think it often. And this has been a great gang this summer. And also, too, here we are in the height of the conference season and it's sort of the fag end for us. And still to keep alert and bright and interested in those who come. And to remember the fact that the people here this week, they've been looking forward to this for a long time, and they may not know that we've been working long hours and may not be the most important thing to them. Nevertheless, here you are, and your shoulder to the wheel. So I want to express that word of appreciation and to tell you, don't panic. You're not going to suddenly find yourself out on the street or out on 30th. With that long walk into town with your suitcases. We'll at least haul you to the bus station. We'll do that much. Tell you that. Now, most of you have plans for the fall. Some of you do not. We'll get to you. Or if it doesn't look like someone's getting to you on your plans for the fall soon enough, there may be some decision that's pending that necessitates getting to you sooner. Would you please make this known to someone? either to your supervisor or to Warren or to Addie or to Jim or to myself, and to see to it that we do not delay in the necessary decisions as you're concerned about your future. We don't mean that you should just sort of sit there and twiddle your thumbs and wait, but rather if something will not wait and the factor should be known, please let it be known. I understood that someone thought that anybody could stay this fall if they paid their own room and board. Well, we appreciate that very much, but we don't need anyone to stay this fall just to pay their own room and board. We want to get the work done with a certain number of people and then work on getting it done with less than that number of people as the fall goes on. So cheer up. If you think it's bad now, it's going to get worse. Then there's a little feedback I got that it's those who made the grade who are going to stay, and those who haven't made the grade are going to leave. Well, Jim and I kind of feel it's the other way around. We didn't make the grade, and we've got to stick here, and you all get to go, those who are going. You know, it's interesting. People have said to me, now the navigators, you sort of have all your contacts with all these people. Then you bring them onto the glen, and then you sort of skim off the cream for the navigator staff. So the best you keep and those that don't make the staff are not the best. So I have a rather standard answer to this. I said, well, just look around at who we've got. Do you think we got the cream? Look at me to start with. No, our plan must have misfired somewhere. Please, don't let that ever get in your mind or anybody else's, will you? That isn't the issue at all. The issue is where can you be used the most? Where does God want you now? We need those who are willing to stand behind a paper cutter or a folding machine. We need those who get out on a college campus. And we need some who will do the necessary paper shuffling. We need both. We need those who go down to the battle and those who will stand by the stuff. And it's just, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's what it is, really. And you know, it's a funny thing in my own life. Ever since I've had this job, I always want to kind of get out a little farther away from the administrative, a little farther. And then I always find the Lord kind of jerks me back. And this last year, I got the farthest away from it, and I got jerked back the hardest. So maybe I ought to just admit that maybe he's given me gifts along certain lines, that I had better apply those and quit coveting somebody else's. No, I haven't gotten over that completely either. Okay, any questions at this point? Or any statement anyone would like to make? Yes?
Question about housing. What housing units will be used, and will there be housing unit leaders, and will people be assigned to housing like we have in the past?
The question is, what housing units will be used, and will there be housing unit leaders? And I don't know the answer to either one yet. I don't know what housing we'll use, and whether or not we'll have housing unit leaders as such, I don't know. To wait and see. Thank you for that good question. There's another one I can't answer. Yes. Well, the question is, do we know how the training setup will be set up? Well, not precisely, but for instance, one plan under consideration now is either 6 to 8 to 10 week training session for a restricted number of about 20 people who would be here for precisely for this training session. And this would have to do with NAV lore and history and principles, perspective, the world mission situation. They'll do research papers and this kind of a thing, and occasionally be signed to help us clear the brush somewhere or to staple B rations. But that will be a separate unit going by itself, along And then, of course, conference is going on too. But this is one thing that's now under consideration. Also, I have had in mind for several years and have waited for the opportunity to have just preceding staff or just afterwards some special sessions for staff development, such as 2 weeks on the history of the Reformation or 2 weeks on some theological theme such as the doctrines of salvation. And also we need some means, for instance, to help our staff mature in public speaking. So we expect to have various kinds of institutes, training sessions going on for various kind types of people. And what is happening at the moment that our folder is growing with those things. For instance, the regional men who are here, we ask them that from the area of men's point of view, to what purposes would they like to use the Glen this next year? And I have their thoughts. From an overseas point of view, what do we need by way of reorientation of our returning missionaries? From a public relations point of view, from the point of view that I have in mind of how to better relate the navigators to the total body of Christ, particularly the church, I feel that the Glen can be a tremendous facility for this, and so I have some ideas there which I'd like to see it put, such as a return to pastors' conferences at certain times of the year, particularly the Labor Day, just after the first of the year, or just after Easter. These are all being fed into this folder, and we'll put them together come along about October. Yes? What type of training will be carried on for the workers? That's up to Seifert and Bob Newkirk. And of course, we do not intend to abandon our interest in their spiritual lives, such as Bible study, scripture memory, their prayer life, and this type of thing. But I also, as any good office, we should have a training on how to be a better secretary, how to handle a crew. And these things will continue in conjunction with the job. Our biggest job right now is to figure out the least effort principle. So we're working on that and the reassignment of personnel. Then we'll take this next step down the road. But this is in the hopper, but what form it'll take, I can't say. This is one reason that to make decisions like I've had to make, I make them best away from the Glen. Because you have to deal with the generalities first and then get to the particulars. And you make one basic decision and that creates 6, 8 to 10 others. And not only that, we have solved some problems, only we'll create others. I know this. But just hang in there, stay steady in the saddle, and it'll move along. Any other question? Right now, the motto that I have is simply stay alive till September 5. Our last conference ends September 4th, so just stay alive till September 5, and then we'll get on to the next step. Any other question? All right, yes. That's a good question. I've got some recommendations on this. We won't be able to afford people showing up at any time touring through. We will probably have to set specific times on certain days if they want to tour. And neither will we have a gatekeeper after a certain time in the evening, say after about 5:30 or 6, and maybe locked after this. And that is going to be a little tight and a little different. But that will be greatly curtailed. There are a number of alternatives, and if I mention them, some would throw up their hands at them, so I better wait. For instance, we've labored under the thought, and I'll tell you one of them, that people would steal you blind if you just let them go, say, go through the castle on their own. Well, maybe they wouldn't. We haven't tried it since we've had people living here. Who knows? Maybe we ought to let people take their own tour around and lock certain buildings. Well, See, the moment I mention this, you can think of a dozen reasons why it wouldn't work. But the thing we're trying to get across, and to those of you who stay, I like to make this little speech right now, that money becomes, lack of people and money becomes a whipping boy. An answer to a problem may not be money or people. It may be new ideas. It may be some other way. There may be something we can think of that we haven't thought of. Resourcefulness, in other words, is also an answer. And so we're going to think of all the alternatives we can how to handle this gate situation. But it'll be different. That much I do know. I know it'll be different. It won't be what it is now, because we just won't have the people to do it. But that's good. I think it makes us reevaluate these things. I'm excited about that prospect. And all of you, listen, we need your brains in this. We need your thought. I've said repeatedly the greatest need in the navigators and the greatest is thinking time. We need more brains and more hearts brought to bear on the direction of this work. And if you have ideas or thought, take about the matter of the gate and how this could be accomplished. Don't forget, I'm still waiting for suggestions. I don't know how to economize, but all along these lines. And we're going to set up a suggestion box in both the office and out in the shop area so that as these things come up, you can drop them in there, either with your name or anonymously. Either way, we want your helpful suggestions. Any other question? Okay, one more thing, and it's this, that we feel that be very important. We usually do this anyway, but I think it's especially important this year that we have a full day of prayer set aside. And so next week, Wednesday, August 19th, we will have the entire day set aside as a day of prayer together. On Wednesday mornings, usually the group called the assistants and myself and sometimes the supervisors meet for prayer at 6:15. Next Wednesday morning, we'd like all of you to join us for prayer at 6:15. Of course, we'll not meet in the Pink House. We'll meet right here at 6:15 in the morning next Wednesday for prayer, all of us together. Time in the Word and time of prayer. Then we'll have breakfast together. Then after that, at 8 o'clock, we'll come back here again. And I've asked Dr. Dave Morkin if he would stay over and speak to us at that time in the further preparation of our hearts for prayer. We'll have continued united prayer after this. And then we will have prayer according to our working units. Probably come back together again after lunch till, say, 2 o'clock, and then have 2 or 3 hours the rest of the afternoon where each can get alone for prayer. The classes will be held as usual on Wednesday night, but the entire day will be taken for prayer together starting here at 6:15 in the morning. That's Wednesday, August 19th. And I have sent a letter out to all of our staff all over the world telling them about this and asking if they could join with us, if at all possible, and they too could, then those who work with them could set aside that day also to join with us in a special day of prayer.